All right. You know, the single most influential person in my life, it's probably just like y'all, is my spouse. Angie's probably the most influential person in my life, and just like y'all, right? Your spouse is. And some of you guys, your parents. Well, you know, I've been on this diet thing since the 1st of January. I've lost 7 pounds. Well, I came in Tuesday night. I was somewhat bragging about it, believe that or not. But I'm a very optimistic person, and I live in a fantasy land sometimes. And I kind of stay out there in the fantasy land sometimes. But Angie has found it in her purpose in life to bring me back down to reality. And she said, well, the reality of it, Jim, is don't get so cocky. There may be a week go by that you lose some. I mean, don't lose any. Or they may even be a week go by that you gain some. My first thoughts was, you sure are a wet blanket. You know, I'm not inviting you to my party no more. But then what she hit me was sometimes we got to face reality. Reality hits when we have these goals, when we have these plans. And sometimes we got to come back down to earth when reality hits. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is what to do when reality hits. When you make all these plans, when you make all these, set all these goals, whether it's whether it's changing your weight, your thinking, the way you look. What happens when reality sets in? You know, it might be that I start thinking, well, you know, this might be a little more difficult than I thought. This might be harder than I realized. Or, this ain't happening like I wanted it to be. What do you do when reality hits? Pull out your message notes. So that's what we're titled today, is Facing Reality with Faith. So when reality hits, what do you do? Like I said, when your goals are not happening as quickly as you planned, you know, the weight's not coming off, you take 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. Anybody ever did that dance? Yeah, whatever it might be. But when this happens, when reality sets in, you got a couple of choices. You got a choice you're going to make between two things, either worry or faith. Anxiety or faith. You know, do you want to have a better day? Do you want to have a better year? I want you to read this here. The very top, Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Man, if we could do that. For some of you guys, even reading that created stress. When I read that, don't worry about anything, I thought, man, now I got to worry about worrying. So it creates its own stress. Let me just add that to my list. You know, why not worry? Let me tell you why we shouldn't worry. Worry is stealing from you the very life that God wants to give you. It's robbing you. It's robbing me. It's keeping you and me from the best that he has to offer us. But the truth is, we all struggle from worry, don't we? We all do. We react differently. Some of us sweat when we worry. Some of us overeat. Some are on the very edge. Some struggle to get control back. That'd be me. I want to give you some worry indicators. Just in case if you're a worrier, I'm going to give you about 10 or 11 indicators right here if you're struggling with worry. Number one, you dwell on problems. That might be you wake up in the middle of the night. You think about them so much you can't go back to sleep. It's worry. Number two, this is mine. Easily get upset by small annoyances. Three, you feel insecure about the future. Four, you feel out of touch with God. Five, you're naturally critical. Five, you even experience physical symptoms. You know, headaches are upset at your stomach. Isn't that crazy? But some folks do. And the next one is, do you feel it hard to accept defects? You feel burned out? And this is another one of mine, this next one, extremely time conscious. And the last one, do you rehash past events? Those are all indicators of anxiety or worry in our lives. What keeps us worrying, and how do we make it change? I tell you what keeps us worrying is it kind of sort of works for us. Worrying kind of sort of works for us. It motivates us. Sometimes it even makes us do things, get things done. Because you get to where you think, if I don't worry, then who will? How will it ever get done? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Or am I the only one that thinks like that? Well, the truth is, worry doesn't work for you. Worry works on you. Worry works on you. It does things to you physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. It keeps you from a life that God has for you. But if we're going to get past worry, we got to know that there's something better. It's not enough to just say, don't worry. That just makes me mad. When somebody tells me, oh, Jim, don't worry about anything. And then here's the really good, oh, Jim, the Bible says don't worry about nothing. Well, that makes me mad when they leave it at that. So in a minute, we're going to get to the positive answer to this thing. So I wanted to give you a picture of what happened between Jesus and his disciples. And so I've drawn from where he's in a boat, you know, there on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm came up. And in the middle of this storm, we're going to see what we should do even now on a daily basis when storms and crisis comes up in our lives. You know, to make a choice. We got to make two of them. And so I wanted to draw for something that really happened. And so this is where I'm coming from. The very first choice we got to make in your outlines, if you're filling in the blanks, is we got to face reality. Like my wife told me, she said, you're going to have to face reality one of these days. You can't be walking around in your little gym world. The world according to Jim. You got to face reality. We got to face the cause of our worry. We're not going to get to faith by pretending that everything is okay. Because it's not. You're hurting. You're just not going to get there. Matthew 8, 23, 24 says, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a terrible storm came up with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. This is a perfect picture of the situations that we face that cause worry and anxiety. And so I want to look at four things quickly that the disciples went through from this verse. The very first thing they went through was the storm. And the storm here represents this. It's a picture of unexpected problems. Everything was going good. It was calm on the seas. And then this storm rose up. Everything was going good. Then all of a sudden the storm. You know what? Do y'all know what I'm talking about there? Can I tell you what happened to me this morning? I was in the shower. That gives you a good mental picture to think about. And I was thinking about the sermon. I thought, you know, everything's going pretty good for me. I'm doing all right. My life's real good. You know, thank you, Lord. I was thinking, I appreciate that. Well, I didn't even get dried off and the phone rung. It was my neighbor. Lived down the road. I was thinking, oh, no, the goats are out and I got to go wrestle one of them goats. I ain't got no clothes on. No telling what that goat will do to me. I said, hello. He said, Jim, this is Chad. Chad Sutton. He said, I found your billfold down here in the road close to my house. I said, you know, I left that in the car last night. I said, Chad, do you have any money in it? He said, was it supposed to? I went to the Dave Ramsey class, so I'm a cash man. I pay all my bills in cash. I said, yeah, there was quite a bit of money in there. He said, well, let me look. I knew it didn't sound good. He said, there was only $5. I said, and I just grinned when I heard that, believe it or not. Because a man earlier in the week had given me $5, come by the post office, and said, put that in the offering at church. I said, well, that's an offering. I know where that's going. I said, I'll be down in a minute. And I started praying, and I said, Lord, I know you'll replace it. You took care of these birds. You'll take care of me. I wonder where it'll come from. So I got down there and I said, where'd you find that at? I'd like to see if my debit card is laying around in case I didn't want to fool with that. He told me and him went up there and there laying in this ditch was all my debit cards and credit cards. And the other ditch on the other side of the road was all my cash. Isn't that something? He took care of me even in my ignorance. But I believe he did because in this storm, I chose to react in faith. Small storm. Big deal. So I gathered that money. And I knew he was grinning. And I guess the first thing I did when I got here was put that $5 in the box. I guess I say all that to say, if your life's fantastic, you're not going through a storm, and you was where I was at when I was in the shower this morning, be careful, one's coming. There's a storm coming. One's coming. You know, and that's the point. I don't want you, as your pastor, I don't want you to build your life on hopes that everything's going to be calm all the time, that everything's going to be smooth sailing. Don't build your life on a pretend life. Because the reality of it is there's going to be storms. That's the reality. The second thing that the disciples saw were the waves. The waves in this story represent overwhelming circumstances. The waves rock the boat. Rock the boat. They're higher than the boat. And some of our circumstances, some of your circumstances are bigger than others. But sometimes you and I just feel like the boat's going to tip over, don't we? We just feel like that. Speaking of the boat, that's the third thing. The boat represents inadequate resources. Well, what I mean? Well, the boat's just not big enough. Just not big enough to handle these waves. We're not on some cruise liner, and although they're not safe either. But what I'm talking about there, inadequate resources, you may just not have enough money. You may not have enough time. You may not have enough energy. Inadequate resources when these storms come at you. And the last thing, you know, this fourth reality was Jesus was sleeping. He was sleeping. And if I was one of the disciples, I think I'd be feeling alone right now. Just feeling alone. During a storm, Jesus is sleeping. They're in this storm, and they know Jesus could make a difference, and he's sleeping all alone. You ever felt like this? You know what I'm talking about. Or maybe you don't, but I've been in these storms where I say, God, where are you? Why aren't you doing something about this? Don't you care? Wake up. God, why are you letting this go on? How do you keep from worrying? Clichés don't work in a storm. I thought it was funny as I was driving down the driveway to go meet with Chad about my billfold. I thought God singing some old goofy song won't work. Because I was thinking about, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar the one is in the ditch tomorrow. That doesn't work either. Clichés and songs just don't work in the face of some of these storms. And for somebody to tell you, don't worry, that really don't work either, does it? We got to face reality. We got to face the storm. We got to know it's a storm. We got to know things, the waves are coming at us. And we got to know that maybe our resources are inadequate. Then secondly, we've got to choose faith. Faith is the cure for your worry. Faith is the cure. So we got to move from beyond don't worry to choosing faith. Look what the disciples did in 8:25. The disciples went to him and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And Jesus answered, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he stood up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly all was calm. The disciples just sat there in awe. Who is this? They asked themselves. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Well, there's four things that you and I are going to have to do to choose faith in the realities of life. The very first thing we're going to have to do is what the disciples did. We're going to have to ask for help. We're going to have to ask for help. I wonder a lot of times when I think about disciples, you know, why did they wait until the waves were about to overtake them and they were about to drown before they woke him up? Why do you and I wait until our circumstances overtake us? Why do we wait till we're drowning to say, help? One of the most effective prayers that I've ever prayed was like this. Help! No these, no thous, no nothing. Just help! Why do we wait till we're drowned? You know why? Because we think we can handle it. We think we can handle it. Guys, if I could tell the young people one thing that I've learned in, you know, 50 years, is that the earlier you ask for help, the less you'll have to worry about in life. Does that make any sense? The earlier you ask for help, the less you'll have to worry about. Ask for help. Worriers, you know, remain worriers when they don't ask for help. It may be my pride that keeps me from asking, but you know what I think most of it is? We just don't want to bother people. We just don't want to bother people. And I can tell you as a dad, when I watch my kids, I watch Sarah and Luke, and they struggle something. I want them to grow, you know, in their struggles. But also, to be honest with you, I want them to ask me for help. I'll sit and watch them just ask me. Let me come to help you. Let me fix it for you. Let me do this. I'm your dad. Just call me. I'm right here. Just call me. And it hit me one day, that's what God is saying. Jim, look at Jim. Just ask me. Ask me, Jim. You don't have to struggle like that. asked me for my help. And he wants to help. He wants to help just like I want to help my children. He can't wait for you to ask. He really, really can't. I took a spiritual whipping one morning. I was changing oil in one of them cars. Man, I couldn't get that plug off. I was beating and banging and knuckles were bleeding. It was cold and I done got mad. I finally said, Lord, I wish I'd asked you before I started this. But will you help me get that plug off? Guess what? One hit. But he let me struggle till I asked. Ask for help. All we got to do is ask for help. But we think we can do things. We think we can handle it. And we struggle. Philippians 4:6, here's the rest of it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Guys, when you ask God for help, there's power in that prayer. There was power in that prayer when I said, help me. Help me. There is tremendous. He tells us how to pray in this. He says, talk. Talk to God. He tells us three things. You know, talk, tell, and think. Talk to God. You know, have this own, I've told you before, have an ongoing conversation with him. And then tell him what your needs are. You know, dads, we want to know what our children's needs are. He wants to know what your needs. And then thank him. Thank God for what he's already done. Number two, question your fears. Question your fears. Angie and I have a saying around our house is doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. Question your fears. Question your fears. Jesus said, why are you afraid? You know why Jesus said, why are you afraid? Because he knows our worries grow out of our fears. If you got to worry, if you're worrying, there's a fear behind it. If you're worried about how you look, there's a fear that creates that. If there's a constant worry in your life, you got to figure out what's behind it. You got to figure out what fear is behind that. Question your fears. I'm telling you something about fears. Your fears are not the final authority of your life. God is. God is that final authority. His word will last forever and not your fears. Remember, we said 365 times in the Bible, God says, do not be afraid. One for every day. Joshua 1:9 says, don't ever be afraid or discouraged. I am the Lord your God, and I will be there to help you whenever you go. You know what one thing that Isaac, Jacob, Abraham, Elijah, Moses, Daniel, Mary, the shepherds, the disciples, you know what one thing that they have in common? God told them all, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Why would he tell these great heroes of the Bible to not be afraid? Because they're afraid. Or where I come from, they're scared. They're scared. And God looked at them and said, don't be scared. Kind of, sort of. That's the Jim version, not the... Yeah, King Jim version, not King James. He says, don't be scared. Even the great heroes of the faith were afraid. That's wonderful, isn't it? To know that those guys went through it. All of them faced fear. The only way to face fear is to face it. Choose faith. Not bail out on life. Anybody who's really living life and growing in faith, you're going to face fears. You're going to have. And when you do that, you question those fears. You doubt your doubts. You believe your beliefs. Don't be afraid. Are you going to live with fear? Are you going to run from it? Or will you face it? Jesus said this in John 14, 27. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. I'm going to ask you to do something this week. I'd love for you to take a piece of paper. I'd love for you to do it today. And just take a simple piece of paper, simple exercise, and write down your fear. Whatever you're struggling with, just write it down. Just so you can see it and make it tangible. Whatever your fear is, write it down. And then under that, I'd love for you to write this verse, John 14, 27. And watch that fear get small. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Don't be troubled or afraid. Number three, increase your faith. Increase your faith. You know, am I saying, you know, when you're worrying, you don't have faith? No. Jesus said, you of little faith. I mean, these disciples had good reason to worry. They were fishermen. They knew about storms. And they knew what they could do to them. They had good, I'm not laughing at the disciples. They had a lot of reason to be afraid. But Jesus said, increase your faith. But any circumstance that you and I are in could lead us into the wrong direction. It could keep me from faith. How do I face the real circumstances of my life in faith? Jesus said we got to remember who God is. Matthew 6:30 says this, God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, but tomorrow is thrown into the fire, so you can be even more sure that God will clothe you. Don't have so little faith. See, we got to trust in the character of God. And the character of God is that He loves you. He'll provide for you. Well, how do you increase your faith? When you're facing these circumstances that cause you to worry, well, by coming to that choice that you can either choose to worry or you can place your faith in God. We can worry or we can worship. We got to use it like a muscle. We got to use our faith to exercise it. Great worries can also lead to be a great person of faith. So I don't want you to feel bad if you're a worrier. That's not what I'm here for. Because you got a lot of great people of faith that went on ahead of you that were worriers too, that were afraid. Luke 8:14 says, the seed that fell among the thorny weeds is like those who hear God's teaching, but they let the worries, riches, and pleasures of this life keep them from growing and producing good fruit. You may have been on the edge of doing something great in your life for God. You may have been on the edge of breaking a bad habit. You may have been on the edge of doing something different for your family, for your girlfriend, or for a fellow student. You may have been right on the edge of doing something wonderful. And then worry gets there. You worry about what you'll look like. And you live just short of where God wants you to live. You live just short. Increase your faith one step at a time. Guys, I want to tell you, don't wait until your life gets perfect, worried about what people will say. They're going to say it anyway. Don't worry. Last one, acknowledge God's control. Acknowledge God's control. Now, what happens next in this story would be funny to me if it wasn't so serious. Here's a storm. I mean, just waves are coming. The disciples are scared to death. And Jesus wakes up. What are y'all doing? And he does one thing. Shh. Shh. And the disciples' mouths fell wide open. They said, who is this guy? Uh-oh. Scared you. Do not be afraid. Or discouraged, Leanne. But he says, what's going on? He looked at the waves and he went, shh, shh. They were worrying about what happened and what was happening around them. They were worrying about the circumstances, and they had God in their boat. They had God in their boat. You and me, we worry about what happens in our lives and look over there and God's going, shh, shh. See, as a believer, we got God in our boat. Circumstances come at us, but we look over and he says, shh, I got this one. I got this one. So are you going to focus on the circumstances? Or are you going to focus on who's in your boat? Are you going to focus on the test? Are you going to focus on, you know, the ex-boyfriend, the ex-girlfriend? Are you going to focus on whether your debit card's stolen or cash is gone? Are you going to focus on God in the boat? Listen for that. And watch the waves go down. Watch it calm. Jesus let them know in that very moment that he was ultimately in control. You and I are not in control. We may think we are, but we are not in control. There is no situation in your life, there's no situation in my life that is happening or going to happen that God is not ultimately in control. He is in control. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord. We adore you as being in control of everything. Now this is kind of what's needed as you move in your faith and your faith increases. You go from recognizing it, who is in control, to the reality of you have a relationship with the one who's in control. That's an incredible thought to me. For years I walked around and said, yeah, God is in control. God is in control. But then all of a sudden it realized I got a relationship with the one who's in control. He hears me. He knows me by name. We're good friends. But the problem with worry is we try to control it all. And when you do that, when you try to control everything, when you try to worry and control everything that's going on, you shrink life down to what you can control. Did you know that? Life is small for you because it's only about what you can control. As your pastor, I want you to have a big life. Big life. Matthew 6:26-27 says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? You ever seen a blue bird with an ulcer? Have you? I ain't. As I was going down the driveway this morning, I said, God, I know you care about me more than a bluebird. So I know you value me. So I'm gonna hang on to that. What I want to tell you today is God deeply loves you. Bluebirds don't get ulcers. God provides them worms I want to go to a place where there's, in my mind, where there's endless worms. I don't have to worry. God wants to help. He wants you in that place where you get all the worms you need. Here's some practical advice. We're going to close this up. Matthew 6:34 says, "So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time." Now, living one day at a time, you know, doesn't mean that you don't make plans. It just means take those goals that you've set and take them one step at a time. One step at a time. You don't have to become Jesus Jr. overnight. One day at a time. Face the fear and face the victory. Then when you don't know what to do, I'm going to read one verse. This is one of my life verses, 1 Peter 5:7. "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you." Would you pray with me? My Lord, my God, I thank you for, I guess it sounds kind of bad, but I guess I thank you for storms, big or small. I thank you that you're in the boat with us. Help us to remember that you're in the boat. We don't have to face these things alone. Help us not wait till we're drowning. Let us start the day off asking for help. Lord, we need you now more than ever, I guess. And I pray that the young people, that they take sin, that they learn this lesson now, that they don't have to wait. That you really do want to help. That we don't have to do it all on our own. And Lord, that when we worry, all we do is control our little bitty lives, and you've got us in store for a much bigger life. Help us see that picture. And Lord, when you're sleeping, you do care. You care. And I'm valuable. Every last one of us. Lord, we love you. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.